Our last preacher of the morning, Nikki Limbo. You may be seated. Parents, right after your children dance before the Lord tonight, if they are on the other campus, take them out into the foyer where the signs are, where the tables are. Immediately after they finish dancing, so they can be immediately bused. We won't have them all over the place then. If you're bringing your children and they're normally staying home tonight, please take them right on home again. Bring them into the sanctuary with you. Hold them on your laps. It's a little. They may have to stand along the walls if they're older until they get a chance, but that'll be very early in the service. The ages have been changed to 3 to 7 in one group, 8 to 12, and 13 and 18 to 18. Nikki has a little longer spot. Can you exercise the stick-to-itiveness a little bit late this morning? God bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I didn't think I would have an opportunity to preach, so I feel for you all sitting out there, so I'm going to make this as quick as possible. I want to talk to you this morning about the fall of the world church. I'd like you to follow in your Bibles this morning. Turn to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And I am going to race through this message, just not for a lack of time, but also too, I have a lot of ground I want to cover, but I think you'll be impacted by what I have to share this morning. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, speaking of the fall of the world church. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the many waters." Now in this chapter, we're about to see the world church being judged, although not fully depicted until the next chapter. But I want you to know that God is not causing John to write of this harlot because of her beauty. For he would not even waste the time to mention her in the holy pages of inspired writ were it not to speak of her judgment or to point out some aspect of her wickedness so the saints of God might be warned of the snare that she has laid. God abhors this world church. As beautiful and as pleasing as the bride of Christ is to the Father, so this counterfeit bride with only a form of godliness is detestable in God's sight. This false church stands opposite the bride. And even now, God, the Father, is busily preparing a bride for His Son with precious gems and jewels. And so the God of this world is also preparing a church for the union with the Antichrist. And I want to emphasize that both are in the making right now. Right now. Both. Now just as one of these seven angels which had the seven vials came and displayed the bride of Christ to John in her final glory and honor and beauty in the New Jerusalem, you'll notice too that one of the seven angels with the seven vials came to show him the final estate of the bride's wicked counterpart, the world church, which is ruin, shame, and desolation. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of this fornication. These political leaders learned the power of the use of religion, and they made the full use of her to further their own goals. They committed fornication and an unlawful alliance. They joined themselves to demon spirits. They should have been worshiping the true God and leading this nation with God's Spirit upon them. But instead, they turned to the God of this world for inspiration and understanding. These men, by reason of their position and influence, were to have sought God to rule righteously. But on the contrary, they went time after time to join themselves to demon spirits in order to rule. They committed fornication and an unlawful alliance to affect those that were under them. You notice that the earth was made drunk by her wine. And by reason of this intoxicating state, the world was now deceived and fooled as to a reality. Now, just as today, political leaders are trying to dupe this country into thinking that there is religious freedom in Russia. I've never heard such a foolish thing in all my life. That's like going to the mafia, having them show you some pizza parlors, some Chinese laundries, and walking back and saying, well, they're not so bad after all. But there is a worldwide stupor coming upon this earth. People are drinking more and more of a liberal philosophies
And as the years go on, and they're getting drunker and drunker. So look for more confusion and outright deception to come upon this earth. They're drinking of the wine of her fornication. And the more they drink, the drunker they will get. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now you'll note that he was taken into the wilderness, that although she's clothed with royal garments, she is spiritually barren. And John needs to go into the wilderness to see her, but had to be taken to a great and high and lofty mountain to get a glimpse of Christ's bride descending from the heavenlies with him. Christ's bride shall experience heavenly places with him, but the world church shall be spiritually barren. But to all those that are impressed with social position, pomp, social acceptance, this world church shall be everything that they want. She shall adhere rigidly to public policy. As many are judging court cases today, and shall be a political delight to the world. Well, the bride shall be considered too narrow, too fanatical for the good of the people and civil rights. She's decked with everything that the world holds to be precious, for she shall be the queen of compromise. Everything that she will have, the world loves. Homosexuality, lesbianism, sorcery, paganism, you name it, she'll have it. Everything but true godliness. For she holds to everything that shines in the eyes of the world, gold, pearls, and other jewels. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. She is the embodiment of every false religion since the beginning of time, just as the beast is the representative of world governments since the beginning of the ages. I'd like you to just pray with me a moment. I feel rushed. I'm trying to get through this for you out there, and I'm getting a little tongue-tied. Just like you pray one moment. Father, in Jesus'
yes,
name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, I believe, O God, for your anointing
that spirit
to
of
come upon your servant.
In Jesus' name. I command it to go.
Yes, O God. In the name
I command
of Jesus.
That spirit of nervousness to go in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Lord, may a spirit of relaxation and anointing
yes,
fall upon thy servant
yes,
in the name of the Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' name. Amen. Be free in Jesus' name. He shall be relaxed.
Thank you, Lord.
He shall have opportunity to get his whole sermon out.
Thank you,
we shall be patient and listen.
Right.
The devil is defeated.
Amen.
He is not rushed.
Right.
He will get his message out in anointing of God. Anoint him in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go right ahead.
Amen. You know, I love you all so much. And what I felt when I came up here is I want to feed you for all the times that you have fed me. And I really mean that.
You're doing a splendid job, Nikki.
Babylon was a wonder in the eyes of the world in its day. None stood as strong and seemingly impregnable as Babylon. And this world shall look at the world church as the pinnacle of achievement as far as the religion is concerned. The accolades and the honor of this world shall be upon it. As Babylon was considered one of the great world powers, so shall she be. And I don't think anyone really fully understands yet. As we don't understand our position, I don't think anyone fully understands how powerful this world church should really be. We don't even understand as a bride how powerful we shall be, and I don't think we've understood how powerful she shall be. Now, I think it's important to recognize we're looking at Babylon in a certain aspect to see it as a type of the world church, just as we do with other types. It'd be a type of many things. Perhaps Babylon is being used here as it was in Daniel, with Daniel looking back to Babylon, excluding Egypt and Assyria as world powers, yet it still represents the sum of the whole, world government throughout the ages, although we're not looking any further back than Babylon, just as in the great image of Nebuchadnezzar that was erected according to Daniel chapter 3. Now in Daniel, for reasons of God's purposes, he chose to use those pictures to display certain truths concerning world government and to go no further back than the nation of Babylon. I think the same holds true here, I believe. God chose Babylon to represent the world church, and much could be spoken on this point, but just to make this small point,
For Babylon brought one of the greatest times of bondage to God's people, speaking of that literal fulfillment, taking them out of their own land and into a land filled with idolatry in order to form a new worship. And this is a good picture of the actions of the world church. Verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, and the Greek is astonishment. And he was astonished because he had seen this one besiege God's people for thousands of years. Verse 9. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now these mountains represent world kingdoms. But you'll notice that there is one harlot that sits upon this world government. This world church, in other words, has worked with every world government that has ruled upon the earth. Each power, and speaking of world powers, has had its own religion to manipulate the people. Egypt had its Janus and Jamborees. Assyria with its worship of the god Asher. Babylon with its idols. Greece, where it was said that Alexander the Great sought at times soothsayers to direct him in battle. Rome also with its mystery religion. Verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. This is speaking, not take time on it, on the internationalists, these money men that are setting up this world government. But hallelujah, we're going to see that God does something with them. And the ten horns, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now these money men evidently begin to detest the world church. And not only do they hate her, but they strip her of her influence and power. No longer does she have sway with the politics of the earth. All her dignity is gone. So John saw her shamed by her nakedness. All her jewels and robes were removed, and she stands there embarrassed. But then the scene shifts quickly, with these men rushing on her like wild beasts to its prey. And they begin to tear into her and eat her flesh. And when they get done, they burn her with fire so that she's nothing but a mere heap of ashes. The separation of this woman who has been joined to this beast for centuries shall come. She has always been welcomed and accepted by world potentates. But the day shall come when they shall say, no more alliances with you. We no longer have need of your services. And although they have always worked together, John, by revelation given by God, proclaims the unexpected. She shall be rejected, and not only rejected, but seen no more, burnt to a remain of mere ashes. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Her political effect is gone. She's reduced to nothing more than if she had not existed. No longer desired and needed, she has served her purpose, and her services are no longer needed. For this is how Satan rewards those who do his bidding. Now God is used the devil's own demonically inspired disciples as a tool of divine judgment, speaking of the ten horns, because who have stood against God's people for centuries. God is paying her back for all that she has done to his people. All the shed blood has been seen and shall be seen and has been recorded. This is what we've heard. The Catholic Church many, many years ago in South America began to attack many of the Protestant ministers. No evil is being done that will not be avenged. All the contempt, all the disdain, all the mocking and the maligning of God's people shall be judged. Verse 17. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now he's speaking about the ten horns here. So in other words, God is going to use these internationalists. Now I want to say to you that everything is under God's great and masterful control. God has one great scheme that these men are falling into, and they are part of his plan. Although they feel quite autonomous and independent in their ways and thinking, they think and feel that they reign as kings of kings, but their pride has deceived them, for the true King of Kings has true control over the affairs of the earth. The Morgans, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, they feel as if they are attaining to their lifelong dream in their setup under the Antichrist government. But in reality, he who reigns on high, whose throne is from everlasting, the Most High God, thinks otherwise. And he writes that they are fulfilling his desire as petty kings and lords who serve under him. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, Babylon, which reigns over the kings of the earth. Perhaps if these 10 kings can represent these 10 horns of these, these kings represent the 10 horns. Perhaps this is their motivation for destroying her. I don't know. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. Now this is one angel. And the earth was lightened with his glory. Does that tell you what our glory shall be like? This is one angel. And the scriptures say that we shall be higher than the angels, though lower for a season. Now God gives as much attention to the judgment of this great whore as he does to express the beauty of his son's bride. It's because she is as wicked as the bride is beautiful. She is as mightily abased as the bride is exalted. And the explanation of her judgment is now in view. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. You know, God's angels have strong voices. Saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and a cage, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now the cry is so mighty because the demise is so staggering. Who would have ever thought that this impregnable city would ever be taken? But when God says your time is up, that's it. Now she's become the habitation of demons. Though she had tried to appear to be the dwelling place of God, her true form is revealed and her sin is found out. All her religious piety and sobriety meant nothing as God made her the dwelling place for that which she was fit to be, the habitation of demons. All their ecclesiastical robes and titles serve not at all to protect them from this fate. Those who by their own hand, as Russell preached last night, who highly exalt themselves in the eyes of men shall be humbled by the Almighty God. All their religious pride and pomp shall be stripped away. All their great swelling words of these self-proclaimed religionists shall be rewarded with them becoming the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of this earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. These internationalists become richer and more powerful by use of this alliance. They rule as kings and feel as mighty potentates. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. The cry comes out because God's people are now within her. There are many at this moment who are being duped and deceived into partaking of her sins. Many, by entering into the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, and many others, because their desire for unity is greater than their love for God's truth, and don't ever let that happen to you. So God is pleading with his people to come out. But this is interesting. Why call if there are none in her? Why call at all? Because many are entering into this. And oh, God wants his people to hear this. God does not want to judge his people for her sins. They're her sins. They belong to her. So he's calling out to his people, get out of that church or group that shall lead you into a compromise with God's word. And for heaven's sake, if you're in one, get out of it. No church, no tradition should loom that important in your life. And if it does, it's demonic. Makes no sense in the view of eternity. Those who strip themselves away from traditions of men will be glad they did. Though now for a season they suffer because their brethren persecute them. But others who refuse will bewail the day they chose traditions of a church over God's pure, unadulterated word. For they shall reap eternal consequences for that decision. God is saying, choose ye this day. A time of suffering and persecution now, and later, eternal bliss by holding to God's word. Or a time of popularity for a time with eternal suffering by compromise. And God shall bring his people, mark my words, to a place of decision before this end of time, and no one shall escape. For many shall decide before the rapture to accept the truths of God's word, and God's word alone, and be taken as a bride. Others who refuse will have an opportunity during the great tribulation to decide to live for truth only, shunning the traditions they once held dear, and cleaving to the uncompromised word of God. And they shall serve as guests at the wedding supper. But others who refuse the call of the bride and the witness of the tribulation saints shall be devoured by the great whore and become a part of the world church. These are serious days that we live in. The fate of these three groups of people shall in all probability be yours unless you die in a very short amount of time. According to the decisions you make now, you can either rejoice with a great shout as to where you're headed or grow quiet in contemplation of what you must do now to remove yourself from the snares of this harlot system. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, saints of God. Double under her, double according to her works. Remember, he's calling unto the saints of God. In the cup where she has filled it to her double. Now she has glorified herself. She has built huge cathedrals with towering spires that attempted to penetrate into the very heavens, but they did not. And so God looked down and said, since I have not elevated you, it shall not last for very long. As great as you sought to elevate yourself, so shall ye be brought down in shame. The sorrow and the torment that she meted out will be returned unto her. Verse 7. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. No reproach shall be upon me. I shall not be one who is left without anyone to care for me. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Because her claims were so great, therefore shall her judgment be so great. The greater the claims of the devil, the greater the judgment he shall receive. Verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, for they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now seeing the righteous judgment of God upon her, they fear, knowing they have partaken of her sins. And therefore, her judgment shall soon be theirs. The leaders of many nations have grown dependent upon her and shall weep when she is gone. For in 1 hour is thy judgment come, as contrasted to something that perhaps in their mind should have taken very long. For they didn't see her weaknesses and faults that God saw. They only saw royal pomp and splendor. But whatever the devil builds up, God can pull down in a moment of time. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all thine will, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. Now, as a result of a fall, you can find anything from precious metals, jewelry, gold, ornaments you decorate with, furniture, perfume, food, drink, meat, and mechanical equipment no longer being sold. This false church evidently was wielding some tremendous power over the lives of men. Now, just as the bride had a tremendous impact upon civil affairs, seen in the slaying of the seventh head of the beast, world government, you can see her counterpart having tremendous influence over the government and the economies of nations. For as the bride caused men to worship Christ, so shall this harlot church cause men to join themselves to the Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. This dispensation of time that we're looking at here portrayed the devil's attempt to counterfeit the reign of Christ in the millennium, in the personage of the Antichrist. So also does he attempt to counterfeit the reign of his bride in the form of this harlot system. Yet there's a world of difference between the two. Christ's bride is committed only to him, being a virgin, reserved only for him, pure and holy. This other woman is a harlot, ready for the use of anyone. And the Antichrist markets her service for anyone who is willing to pay for her. Now remember, we're speaking about a world church and not something that is literal. Her heart is filled with the abominations of the merchandising of religion. The use of religions for one's own ambition is her theme. The use of God and the Bible for money and prestige and power is her aim. And can you see why God shall say to some, "You have prophesied in my name, yes. You have done many miracles in my name, yes, but I know you not." The worst thing seen marketed on that long list of items is the souls of men. And they shall pay dearly for that in the eyes of God. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after that are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." You know, the world has no lasting value in it. To them, we Christians appear foolhardy, denying ourselves of present pleasures in hopes of future blessings. But we in reality shall be the wisest of all men that have ever existed and labored on planet Earth. Their enjoyment they shall find no more, but we shall be eternally satisfied. Verse 15, "The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is brought to naught.' They held riches in such great esteem that their amazement seems beyond measure. For their God, the love of money, who they thought to be very strong, turned out to be so very weak." It's not as secure as some would think, is it? There's a real love of money growing in this country today. And God is going to pour out great judgment upon that spirit. Verse 18. Don't let it get hold of you. Verse 18. "And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is likened unto this great city?'" Now, it's interesting to me that they're still calling it a great city. You can see how deceptive pride really is. Here this city lies in a heap of ashes. They're even admitting it. And they don't see how empty and vain this city is yet. They just see this great city. Verse 19. "And many people have the same problem with demon spirits that buffet their lives. Still can't see why it's such an ugly thing. Verse 19. "And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all the ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" Now that should not sound so strange. It says, "by reason of her costliness," if you understand the immense wealth of the Catholic Church right now. Do you hear they had $1 million loan? I forget where it was. I think maybe in Brazil or somewhere else. They had some money they loaned to some bank. I mean, it was millions of dollars. And they made a bad loan. And I wasn't upset about it. But they lost millions of dollars. That should let you know just a little bit of the wealth of the Catholic Church. So that should not sound so strange. Verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." And I believe we can dance this dance now. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and he cast it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence shall this great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all.'" Now as a millstone, which looks so unmovable, is cast into the sea by one angel, so by the finger of God shall this great ruin that I've spoken about this morning come upon this world church with great wrath. And all the works that the devil builds up, no matter how mighty they appear, they will be pulled down by the power of the Almighty God. It does not matter what weapons are formed against it, does it, saints? We shall win. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. And we all know, many of us have been around here, this word sorceries speaks of the use of drugs in witchcraft and sorcery. This means that this world church shall practice witchcraft. I don't care how pious they look. I don't care what their cathedrals seem like. They shall be involved in all sorts of debauchery. Its clergy shall be involved in witchcraft and sorcery with the power of voodoo and black magics of all sorts being exercised in its midst. We've even seen this down in Kansas. They found many slayed animals just out in the countryside. And many are worshiping Satan down there. We haven't come in contact with them yet, but oh, as we do, God give us the power. We're going to destroy the strongholds of the enemy. The power and the sway of this church shall be great, and her judgment shall be commensurate. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all those that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice. And can you hear it this morning? Of much people in heaven. It's going to be you and I. Saying, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants in her hand. And again they said, hallelujah! For her smoke rose up forever and forever, and thus will end the fate of this world church and all that the devil built and attempted to do through this world harlot system. Saints of God, take heart. We're on the winning side.